From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1990 when a Democrat named Joe Morelli won the election for a seat in the New York State Assembly. Morelli has been at the center of local and state politics ever since. He's been the longtime majority leader for the Democrats in the legislature. But now Joe Morelli is making a run for Washington, running for the congressional seat held by the late Louise Slaughter. And now his seat in the Assembly is open for a new face, a new voice in Albany. There are three Democrats running for that seat, and this hour we welcome all three who are on the ballot in the upcoming primary election next week. And we will say hello to them now. Jacqueline Richard is the president of the Rochester chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. Jacqueline, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Evan. Thanks for having us.
Jamie Romeo is the chair of the Monroe County Democratic Committee. Jamie, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Evan.
And Todd Grady is a former journalist with, among others, the Democrat and Chronicle, and he's in real estate as a new home construction specialist. Todd, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us, Evan.
There's a lot to talk about this hour, and you're all running for a seat vacated by a well-known figure, obviously, in local and state politics, Joe Morelli, who's been in Albany essentially since 1990. So it's helpful for voters to know how you evaluate the work that he has done there. And I'll start with Jamie Romeo and we'll go around the table. I mean, generally speaking, would you extend his record of support and opposition on various issues? Do you view yourself as a very different sort of Democrat than Joe Morelli? How do you view that issue?
Well, obviously, I think Joe served this district and our region very well in the Assembly. He was able to work a long time and also get up to being the majority leader, which is significant, and be able to be a real voice for upstate in that position. Obviously, I'm going to Albany to have my own record and to do my own work, but I think that there are a lot of things that Joe and I agree on that I would want to continue and work on. He's helped highlight a lot of the needs that we have up here in the Rochester region and the upstate region with the poverty initiative, the RAMPI. Economic development, we've had some unprecedented investments coming our way. There's still a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of work to do to make sure that we keep that kind of attention on upstate. Our delegation's going to have to work really hard, which is one of the reasons why I want to be able to bring my voice to that delegation to work together.
Okay, Jacqueline?
Well, I think what Joe has done for upstate New York is also very commendable. I believe we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do on economic development. I think we need honest economic development, maybe even a deals database, so we see what's happening with the money and what the results are, so not just the big money donors get the contracts. I think there's a lot of work to do on education, I think on women's choice. I think it's good, but I'm not done. We're not done, and I'm looking forward to going to Albany and put in my two cents.
Okay. Todd Grady.
I'd be the first to acknowledge the work that Joe Morelli has done on behalf of the Rochester community. I'm a resident formerly of Irondequoit for 16 years, and I can tell you that Joe was always knocking on the door to ask what the needs of the community were. And I hear that time and time again when I'm out campaigning door-to-door in our district, that Joe Morelli has been to the door. And as a result of that, we've seen significant improvements in our community. Joe certainly deserves to go on to Congress if that's going to be after the election, if that's what happens. And we have a very good opportunity. In fact, someone mentioned to me this morning over breakfast that this is a once-in-a-generation lifetime opportunity for the three of us, because it very rarely happens where you have an open assembly seat or an open Senate seat because of the longevity of the people who serve in those respective roles. And I'd like to carry on the same traditions, but with change. We need change. We need new voices, new faces, and new ideas for this community.
All right, so you're animating issues. You're running primarily. What is top of mind for you? I'll start with Todd on this.
Sure. One of the first things that I always tell people is that Rochester deserves its fair share. For too long, Rochester has not gotten its fair share of funding, and that has to do with the AIM funding. Rochester has been behind Syracuse for several years. Recently, Syracuse has surpassed Rochester, but when you look at it on a per capita basis, we're way behind Buffalo. And that money transfers down into education, economic development opportunities. And someone needs to be in Albany, move us up on the ladder. Mayor Lovely Warren has come out just this year when she released her budget to say, if we received the proper amount of AIM funding, we wouldn't be in the position of deficits. And so that's very important to this community.
Okay. Jacqueline Richard.
Well, I think number one, still working on affordable health care for all, single payer system, no co-pays, no deductibles, full funding for education, meaning that formula needs to be tweaked. I've talked to some of the superintendents, and we were getting the right amount, then there was a recession, so now we need to tweak that percentage of the schools. And I think the investment in our children are very important because they are our future. Protecting a white woman's right to choose is high on the list with me, and ethics and voting reform. But I also have to say there's a lot of corruption going on in Albany, and we need a change. We need to shake it up a little bit there. It's on every phone call, thousands of phone calls I've been making, the majority of people are saying they're tired of this corruption in Albany. And if we don't bring in any new voices, new points of view, and people that aren't connected with other people, then there's not going to be any change.
All right, Jamie Romeo, top of the list for you.
In addition to some of the other issues that we heard, I think that there are a lot of issues that are affecting all families across this district, but then the state of New York, and I think healthcare is going to be on the top of that list. There are a lot of costs that are continuing to just explode that the state needs to really step in. And we're going to have to take a really hard look at healthcare, whether it's the New York Health Act or if we're starting to codify parts of the Affordable Care Act. We really have to look at how do we start bringing some of these costs down for families. One issue that I've been working on that unfortunately I feel like I've worked on for well over 10 years, because I have, was the child care program that we have in Monroe County. We've seen our issues over the past 15 years. And it's a block grant program right now where the federal money throws through to Save New York goes to the county. But we've seen not eligible families in this community for child care subsidies are not getting them. And then people that fall outside of that range, that service gap, can't even have access to subsidies. So we have a big problem with working families that can't afford of how do I make sure my child's in a constructive place when we're not in school. I think that child care is going to be another economic issue a lot of families are facing that the state needs to take a much more hands-on approach with. But we have a lot of other things we need to look at, too. We've got to make corrections with our public education system. We're going to have to make sure that New York State is holding the line on environmental protections as we're seeing the EPA basically throw their hands up and no longer function. Electoral reforms, the list is very high, but there are a lot of issues that New York State, the federal government, is going to be very distracted for the next 2 years. Regardless of how long Donald Trump is in office, the state's really going to have to step up to take the lead to make sure that New York families are being served.
All right, so on the question of experience here, Jacqueline has, I think it's fair to say you've attacked Jamie Romeo as the term top Dem insider. You constantly invoke Jamie's status as the head of the Monroe County Democratic Committee. And, you know, her supporters have said she has experience. There is institutional know-how that could matter in Albany. You view that as a negative. Why do you view it as a negative?
Well, I think we need something different. I've been a political activist for a long time as president of NOW for the last 4 years. I've made a difference in when I formed coalitions and organizations, speaking at rallies. High schools and colleges are calling me to find out what to speak at women and family issues. But during my term as president of Rochester NOW, I've been the driving force of the organization and greatly increased the public profile. I was one of 20 women invited by the comptroller to New York State to participate in a roundtable of women advocates to discuss priorities and significant challenges that women faced. I have lobbied in Rochester, Albany, and Washington for families and women's rights.
We can talk about your record, but I'm curious to know why you're attacking Jamie as an insider when, you know, it's a question of experience.
Well, she's the chair of the Monroe County Democratic Committee, and the bottom line is she got herself in to be the designated, I think it was a conflict of interest, by getting herself to be the designated Democratic candidate. Because it was all like a lot of, I went to the first Democratic meeting to get the designated at the caucus, and I thought I was getting support. She was there, and she walked up to me and said she was running against me. Then we had 1 minute to introduce ourselves, and out of the 8 votes, seven went to her. We had 1 minute to introduce ourselves. It just seemed to me it was all set up already in the back.
You don't think it was a legitimate process?
It seems to me that it was interesting.
Okay. Jamie, was the process fair, and is there a conflict of interest in your being the party chair and now running for office?
Well, we've had party chairs who've been elected officials time and again have sought their own reelection and gone through the committee's designating process. I put myself before the committee and the committee members. I actually did it so late in the game that anyone else that had been a declared candidate would have had ample time to secure the support that they would need for the nomination. But I put myself before all the committee members and I asked for a vote. I did it in advance to when I was even able to mail a letter out to all committee members because it was a decision that I was really contemplating. It was one of those gut decisions that I actually feel was very similar to when I was the then executive director of the committee a few years ago, and then our current chair, Mr. Gerritsen, had to step down, and we had a vacancy, and I felt drawn that I felt a need to step up and try to take on this challenge. And that's another one of the main reasons why I felt the drive to do this. But I'm putting myself out there in front of all committee members and now the electorate. And ultimately, they're the ones that are going to decide. There was a vote taken at several committees, and the committee members are all participatory members of our committee, and they vote the way that they see fit. And I think the electorate is the same way, which is why it's important we all put ourselves out there.
Todd, do you think this has been a fair process?
I'm going to piggyback on a little bit of what has just been said, but I'm going to give you an alternative, and I'm going to give the people listening today an alternative to exactly what we've all done, which is find ourselves on the ballot. And that process is simple. It isn't really something that if someone really wants to do this like myself, you can make it happen. And my process was understanding who was running, making a decision after 20 years of being in this community that I wanted to put myself forward and actually run, which is a major undertaking as far as a decision within your family or friends to do something like this. And I was able to go out and ask fellow Democrats throughout this district, would you sign a petition to put me on the ballot? And there's nothing else that you can do is look someone in the face and ask for their signature. And I'm very proud to say in that process, the minimum required amount of signatures were 500 signatures. I was able to secure 650 signatures. And that was with taking a little bit of a break, which was already pre-planned before I decided to run. I'm confident I could have attained 1,000 signatures. And what people don't tell you in the process, people that understand it somewhat or be part of the party, they know that committee people go out and get these signatures on behalf of the candidates. When you review at the Board of Elections the candidate's ability to get the signatures, what you often find out is the committee people are getting them on behalf of the candidates. The candidates are not looking the people in the face and asking for their signature. And if I'm elected, I am going to ask that candidates in the future have to get a required number of signatures themselves. And I'm not going to speak because I'm sitting across from Jamie, but she knows how many doors she knocked on in that process.
Well, let's ask her. How many doors did you knock on?
Well, the exact number I don't have on hand, but I'm sure that if Todd's looking at the numbers that he knocked on more than I did work with the committees. That's why you go through that process in that signature process.
Is the process fair? He thinks that process isn't as authentic, it sounds like. When you're not looking the voter in the face, that when you're asking people to do the work for you, there's something inauthentic.
All of us have knocked on doors. All of us carried petitions. All of us have knocked on doors. And we're continuing to knock on doors, make phone calls, and talk to voters. And I think we're all doing that. What the committee process is that those are Democrats that have come together that say, we want to have a part in this process to support a candidate. And they elect what candidates they want to support. And then they go out and do the work. Nobody forces committee members to carry petitions. Those are willing volunteers that stand up and do that work for the candidates. And not all committee members carry petitions for the entire slate of endorsed Democrats. That's been an issue that's probably predated my term as being chair. These are volunteers that are willing to step up and give their time. And I think that's a great part of our democratic process.
I'll just follow up with that. Evan, I can tell you that Jamie just got over 100 signatures herself. I know Jacqueline got well over that herself because we reviewed these petitions. And I would tell you that everyone who signed my petition, this is not a well-known race. This is not a high name recognition race. So I use that to my advantage. I sent out a handwritten thank you to every person who put me on the ballot with a stamp on each one of those envelopes and said thank you.
But there's Jamie Romeo saying, look, if she's got committee members who are willing to do the work for her, they're supporting her because they know her and they like her record or they like what she is proposing to do. And what is undemocratic about that?
There's nothing undemocratic about that, but I can tell you when you're asking someone to put yourself on the ballot, you have to present yourself at the door and tell them what you're about, and that's how they sign for you.
Okay, so a couple more points on this, and we're going to move to other issues here. Jim in Brighton writes an email to the program and says, I would direct my question to Ms. Romeo. I've received two mailings at my home in Brighton. Neither mentions her current position as chair of the Monroe County Democratic Committee. Is that an attempt to hide the fact that you're in charge of the party that you're a candidate for?
No, and I do not believe I am in charge of the party. I'm the elected chair of the party, which means I'm there to help raise money and support.
Okay, why not mention that, though?
Yeah. I think that most people know me as chair, and I think that's very obvious. They may not know that I spent well over 10 years in government service, working about a little over 9 years in the Monroe County Legislature, serving as the chief of staff to Senator O'Brien, because when you're a staffer and you're working on behalf of the constituents of this entire county or the 55th State Senate District, nobody knows who you are because you are working to advance the vision and the work of the elected official that you work for, which in my case were elected officials like Ted O'Brien, Harry Bronson, Kerry Andrews, Calvin Lee, Willie Joe Lightfoot. Nobody knows who you are when you are in the back room drafting the talking points, writing those proposals, doing the constituent work on the phone, talking with people, trying to help them work through bureaucratic systems. And those are things that I'm taking the opportunity in my mail and some of my other campaigning to educate voters on, because they probably don't know about that part of my experience.
But you think they know that you're the chair of the local party.
When I talk to voters, okay, most people recognize me from having been the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she took advantage of her position at MCDC chair by placing herself as the designated candidate. And the committee, I just see now that the committee for reelecting Assemblyman Joe Morelli, just gave her $4,400 to her campaign. So it sounds like he's buying her. And I don't think we should have Albany run from Washington.
Buying
her votes, yes.
Nobody's buying my votes.
Well, giving money to your campaign helps you.
Are the people that are donating to you buying you? They're supporting you. Joe announced his support for me. There's a lot of other elected officials that are saying that they're going to support me. Nobody buys my votes.
I'll just follow up on this. Jamie, for the most recent filing, has raised more than $46,000. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the effort to go out and Jacqueline's effort to go out, meet voters. We don't have the funds to do that. We may have the potential to raise the funds. I can tell you what I needed for my campaign. They're not oversized mailers with Donald Trump's picture with no backup as to how that affects the local issues, the jobs leaving our economy, the onerous laws that have been on our backs of businesses for so long that have businesses closing and moving and our population shrinking. I can tell you my expenses have totaled maybe about $5,000 at this point, because you do have to have a website. You do have to have signs. They're very effective. And part of Jamie's $46,000, it shows that Waste Management gave her $500 on August 14th. Mm-hmm. Do you know what's going on in Parenton at the High Acres landfill? People are smelling garbage trucked in from New York City. And Jamie Romeo, the Democratic chairwoman, has accepted $500 from Waste Management. I asked her to explain that on the air to the viewers and possible voters today that we're hearing from and listeners.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm very well aware. I've talked with, we have some great candidates running out in Fairport who are running. Actually, they're very concerned about this issue, and they've been very vocal with a lot of the residents that are there. I've actually talked with individuals from Waste Management on this issue. I've also talked to residents in this area on this issue. I have a long relationship, actually, with a lot of the people from my work as a student that used to organize beach cleanups well over 20 years ago, where we worked with Waste Management to solicit support for dumpsters and other ways to remove the garbage we were cleaning off the beach. I've worked with a lot of those people for a very long time. And one part of running campaigns, unfortunately, because we don't have public financing right now, is that you do have to raise money and you do go to people that you've worked with and ask for some of their support. That does not mean by any means that I endorse what's happening, that I endorse all of the positions that Waste Management takes. I think that it's obviously a very big concern that they've not been able to fix these issues with the landfill, that there's obviously pending litigation going on to make sure that the residents' concerns are being heard and the DEC is being very involved in that. Obviously, that falls outside the parameters of this district. But I also have taken a lot of money from labor unions and other developers and individuals across this. That does not mean that every single person, as it doesn't with anyone that supported any other campaign, that you are committed to losing your own voice when you accept campaign donations. I do not agree with that. And I think that that shouldn't hold for any of us in the room here.
Can I just ask, Jamie, do you mm-hmm. think money can corrupt politics?
Of course it can.
Do you think there are politicians in office or candidates who, as a result of receiving big contributions, can then feel beholden or feel pressure to vote on behalf of those interests?
I think we've already seen that. I think you've seen that with a lot. I mean, when Tish James, who's running for attorney general, is here locally, she's brought up that we've had 30 elected officials over the last, I forget, about, say, decade or so, that have been convicted or indicted on crimes. And a lot of it has to do with the money that's getting involved in politics. Right. And we need to pass public financing in order to eliminate it. But we also have to understand that right now it's all of our candidates across a political spectrum fundraise because it's part of how you get your message out to voters.
I understand that. And you're talking about a process that exactly Jamie's describing the process accurately. I think what Todd is raising is if you ask for money from waste management, and they give it to you and you're someone who acknowledges that money can corrupt politics. Does that potentially tinge the work that you could do in Albany? Or are you saying, look, they give me money. It's not going to own my vote.
It doesn't own my vote. And because I think that speaks to my integrity and to my character and that I've shown that I've always been an independent voice to speak in what I believe in. And I think that, well, I don't think that I know that that's exactly what I'm going to do in Albany.
Okay, Todd?
And I would just ask as a follow-up, is it coincidental that that money was accepted on the same day a lawsuit was filed by more than 200 homeowners that live nearby?
I can't control when the post office mails me a check. So it's a complete coincidence.
Okay, a couple other points that we want to make sure we hit here, because you just brought up Tish James, and when people talk about sort of, this concern that is the party protecting committees and people in power in the party, you know, is there a Democratic machine or is there not? They sometimes talk about sort of this institutional lockstep. Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask briefly, in the upcoming primaries, if you're willing to disclose, are three candidates here, are you voting for Governor Cuomo in the primary? Jamie?
Yes.
Yes.
Todd?
I'm undecided.
Undecided. Okay. And Attorney General? Who are you supporting, Attorney General?
Tish James.
Tish James?
Attorney General. No, Zephyr.
Zephyr Teachout.
Undecided.
Undecided, Todd. Okay. And so, you know, you're supporting Tish James, who has pledged a lot of support for the governor. So there's sort of mutual admiration there. Certainly the person who has called the most, I think, consistently for reform of money in government is Zephyr Teachout. Why are you supporting Tish James over Zephyr Teachout?
Well, I've been supporting Tish James really from her record. She's really impressed me with her record that she's had as the New York City public advocate and the work she did previous to that. And as she likes to remind people, she sued both Bill de Blasio and Mayor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo.
Yeah.
And I think that really speaks to her character and independence in that you can get support from people, but that doesn't change your integrity. That doesn't change your character and who you are and the values that you have. And she's clearly, in my interactions with her, she's really demonstrated to that to me. And that's one of the things that I really like about her. And I think that's going to be an important streak of independence, that she's going to be able to go to Albany, work with the legislature, work with the executive, but hold a firm line when she needs to and make sure that she's holding people accountable.
Lieutenant Governor, you're supporting Kathy Hochul?
Yes.
Kathy Hochul.
Undecided.
Undecided. Okay. So is there a case, Jamie, that you would find yourself voting for someone outside of sort of the Democratic establishment mainstream, whether it was in the primary for Congress, obviously support, I know you supported Joe Morelli there, and then Cuomo, Hochul, James, I mean, this is a slate that the Democratic establishment does support. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you can be an independent voice when it's appropriate?
Oh, yes, because in the past, we've had lots of Democratic primaries, lots of endorsed candidates, lots of upstarts. I can certainly say that my primary ballot has never completely been the party endorsed.
Is there an example that stands out to you?
I think the primary one would have been in 2008, while New York State was campaigning very hard for Hillary Clinton. I voted for Barack Obama.
Okay. Jacqueline, you want to weigh in on this? I mean, you said
On Zephyr. Well, she wrote the book on corruption.
And it's an actual book. Yes.
It's an actual book, and she even was going to give it out to everybody. So I think she's very strong. And I have a feeling that the Attorney General should not be in cahoots with the governor. I think there has to be a separate entity so everything's fair and above board. So that's what I think about that.
Todd?
I agree. Definitely a separation.
I mean, you say you're undecided in a lot of these cases.
Correct.
But you also bring some of your work as in sort of watchdog reporting to this. Are you comfortable with the candidates that are AG on the governor's slate, on the lieutenant governor's slate, that regardless of who you end up supporting, do you feel like do you have concerns at all about corruption or sort of institutional connection?
Well, I think the statement by running as essentially someone who's doing this for the first time says that I think more needs to be done. I think we need a better crop of candidates in a lot of our races, whether it's past racers or future races. This is a very difficult thing for somebody to do. Sometimes people shout out at you, are you crazy? What are you doing? Isn't it hard work? Don't you have to spend a lot of money? How is it possible? What about your family? This is a very hard thing to do. So we don't have people, and Jamie will allude to this, I'm sure, because in her job, she has to recruit people. A lot of people just don't want to do this. So I'm comfortable with the candidates. If you're asking me what currently on the ballot that we'll be sharing the ballot with, I will say I grew up in Buffalo. I lived there until 1998. So you might guess who I might be getting closer to voting for in the Attorney General's race, because I know her father from being in the media. And he was a very good city council person for many, many years. And I thought she spoke very well during the debate, and that's Miss Eve.
Okay. And so let's get some questions from listeners now. Listeners, if you want to call the program, we're going to be talking healthcare coming up here. We're going to talk about economic development and other issues central to the campaign. We can talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. We're talking to the candidates running for state assembly in the upcoming Democratic primary, a seat long held by Joe Morelli, who is running for Congress. You just heard Todd Grady, a former journalist, Jamie Romeo, chair of the Monroe County Democratic Committee, and Jacqueline Richard, who's president of the Rochester chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. Nicole in Rochester first on the phone. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, thank you. This question is perhaps going back a few minutes on the discussion of the process. I am on the Monroe County Democratic Committee, and I happened to notice that I started receiving mailings from Jamie Romeo's campaign that I hadn't signed up for. And I'm just curious if that is sort of a benefit of being the county chair, the chairwoman, or just how I might have, you know, begun receiving all of it without having signed up for your campaign.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie. Yeah,
that's actually public information available from the Board of Elections. Any candidate running for office can receive the voter file. You have to pay a subscription fee for it, and it gets updated quarterly. But that's something that anybody running for office is able to get.
Nicole, does that answer your question?
I'm not sure, because I just felt that I was being treated as someone who signed up for the campaign rather than just being treated as the voter. You know, I've received calls from the campaign, and you know, that's fine. I've participated on these campaigns. It just seemed that rather than asking for my support, it was, you know, wondering if I was going to be going out to knock on doors on behalf of her, etc.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Go ahead. You want to follow that up, Jamie? Anything that we're missing here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's kind of part of a normal tactic with campaigns. You get the voter rolls, and then you reach out to talk to different people about it. And sometimes you include a volunteer asking that if you think you've had a good conversation with somebody. I know that I've done that myself with voters. We've had volunteers doing that as well. I think that's kind of a standard bearer with campaigns.
Okay. Jacqueline?
Well, about the campaign, I sent it out to the same people I got from the Board of Elections, and I haven't had any complaints, because I also have been talking to a lot of people on the phone, and they didn't know any of the other candidates they were running, so they were really happy to talk to me and to understand the difference between Jamie, I, and Todd. So the difference is that I'm not an insider. I will speak with no conflict of interest and no big money donors to behold in my answers.
Todd.
I'll speak to that as well. If you're running on an environmental record and you're sending out these oversized postcards, unfortunately people can't see because I'm holding one up. It has a picture of Donald Trump. They go in the garbage for the most part, and people are telling me actually that they're no good because that's exactly where they put them, the garbage. And I'll just say that everyone who received a piece of literature from me saw it in my face door to door.
Okay.
Can I say, I do hope that people are putting mailers in the blue box because they're recyclable.
It's good to know that they're recyclable because we've got landfill issues, as we've already established here. Mm-hmm. David writes to us and says, do the candidates who are not Jamie Romeo think that you can actually run a campaign without money? They must be new to political fundraising. Todd?
Actually, no. My father ran 3 campaigns previously growing up, so I'm not new to this. I would call it a sport. You can do it without raising a lot of money. And I can tell you some of the people I've contacted have mentioned receiving emails asking for more than $200. These are not people of means. And I said, what happened when you wrote back and said you couldn't make that kind of contribution? Their response was from the Democratic Party was and committee was, sorry, you can't make it.
Okay, Jacqueline?
Well, I think you can make it without taking corporate cash. Like Teach Out is not taking any corporate cash. But I think if you get your message across and you're clear, yes, you need money to send out mailers. But I think if you have honest, straightforward, no sneaking around about the endorsements, all the endorsements, they're very nice. But if I was the Democratic designated candidate, I would get them too. So they're sort of like insider window dressing. And I know you get money from them too. And that's great because that's how the process works. But I really think this is not the party seat, it's the people seat. And we have a unique opportunity for the people to take back this seat after 20-something years.
We do have a question about records and how your records help prepare you for the seat. I think it's a fair question. It's directed first to Jamie, but let's go ahead and ask all three of you about your own records. And the email from a listener reads as following. Can we talk records? What has Jamie done to stop the bleeding at the Monroe County Democratic Committee? Is it fractured still? She said her job was to raise money and support candidates. How are the finances? And can we talk about the other candidates' work records as well? So it's a fair question. You entered, I think, a very difficult spot. I think the fractures in the local Democratic Party have been pretty well reported. Do you view the party still as fractured locally? Have you worked on that, and do you have a track record of success with that?
Well, I think that Democrats being a big tent party will always have some fractures because that's just part of being a big tent party. We're trying to be very collective and bring lots of people with lots of different visions in. I'm very proud of what I've done since 2015 when I stepped up when nobody else would after Mr. Gerritsen had to leave. Since that time, we've elected two countywide Democrats. We've taken seats across the county. We've been competitive in red towns and elected Democrats. And I've been very proud to be part of that because it's not one person that's made that happen. It's been the committee. And the only reason that anybody would have been able to come in as chair and help those campaigns and make that possible was the foundation that the committee members for a very long time that they've been doing by being active, by talking to their neighbors, by being Democratic committee members for so long. Finances is always very, very difficult. I'm glad to say that we've never missed a beat with meeting all of our obligations. And on top of meeting all of our obligations, we've won races. Do we have as much money as our Republican counterparts? No. We don't come close. And I don't think that in itself is a judgment on our performance. I think our performance over the last few years has been great. And that's because we've had some top quality candidates that have run and some great people that have been really motivated for a number of different reasons that have gotten off the couch, gotten off of social media and started participating in their communities. And I think last year particularly really spoke to that.
Jacqueline Richard, you want to talk about record? Go ahead.
Yeah, talk about record. I don't think what Jamie said about a record is true because for 2 years she ran MCDC as a deficit, and she hasn't unified the party fractions. It's evident by the four different candidates that ran for congressional race. She has not. I don't think she's been an effective leader. One of the countywide success rates, as she said, I don't think has our Democratic values and still became a Democrat.
Can I just ask you, Jacqueline, just because there are four Democrats who ran for Congress, that's a sign to you that there's fracture?
Well, I think they're all going in different directions. There weren't four people that were all in agreement with the same thing. There were four people from four different parts, or at least two different parts.
And what Jamie says is that's evidence of a big tent, of welcoming a lot of different ideas.
That's one way to put it.
But you see it as signs of fracture.
Still. I see signs of fracture.
Okay, now, I think Jamie's made her point on that, but let's talk about your record because the listener wanted to talk about all of the candidates' records
right.
And how they see it bolstering. So
right.
Go ahead.
My record as president of Rochester Now has made it a countywide awareness that we fight for women's rights and choice and equal pay. And since I've been in, I've raised the membership and the awareness twofold. So I think because of the colleges and the high schools that have asked me to talk to them and be on their panel, they've realized that I have something to say. And since being the forefront, I believe, in women's issues in Rochester, one of the endorsements jumped up at me at the National Institute of Reproductive Health that Jamie got the endorsement for. And I know that I've been at every event, every rally, every speech. I've even gone out of my way at times to invite her personally. And I don't think she's the women's forefront here in Rochester.
Okay. Because you were invoked, you want to respond and then we'll turn to Todd for his record. Go ahead.
No, I think Jacqueline's done great work as being the now chair. I don't think there is any one person that kind of serves that role. I think that we all have records that serve different purposes and different things that we've led on. But I think that, you know, my record as a staffer, as a chief of staff, as an executive director for the committee, and also as the chair kind of speaks for itself.
Todd Grady.
And I'll just piggyback on one because you had mentioned endorsements, and I'll speak to my own record. Jamie, you also received an endorsement from the New York League of Conservation, and proudly on August 20th on your Facebook talked about your track record as an environmentalist from the time you were a young person. Mm-hmm. And I want to call attention to that one last time. And then I'll speak to my record now. Evan, as you know, you were asking me earlier before we started this broadcast about my journalism background. My wife and I moved here from the Buffalo area in 1998 when I started a career at the Democrat and Chronicle. And I served in that capacity until 2005. And I tell people I've had a front row seat for these issues time after time after time and again. And I can tell you we're talking about a lot of the same issues, and this is 2018. And a lot of the things have stayed the same. They haven't changed. And I also will talk about my record as an economic development person working on several key projects in this community after my journalism career. So for 20 years, I've been focused and had a front row seat for everything that goes on, a lot of things, a lot of major headline type projects and initiatives covering Rochester Gas and Electric through the large takeover. As you know, Rochester Gas and Electric is owned by Iberdrola now. Outside of our country, for 146 years, that was a community-owned utility. And the Public Service Commission is not watching. And we had looked at what happened in Iran and Kuwait, where Jamie lives and where I lived for 16 years. We need better oversight. And as an assembly person in this district, that's what the people are going to get because I come with the experience garnered from the previous positions.
Okay. Now, on the subject of economic development, you bring it up. You said that there's onerous regulations on business that you would be going to Albany to work on. Be specific. What's an example that I'm curious to know if your opponents agree?
Okay. Workers' compensation is a huge one. There was a little bit of reform more recently, but as you know, this community has spent thousands and thousands of dollars on forming a community coalition called Unshackle Upstate. And if our listeners today will go to that website and look at the onerous laws and regulations that are on the books, and there are many of them. I'm mentioning workers' comp because that always comes to mind. But there are several other. Ask the people who own or are in construction regarding the scaffold law. Jamie is well aware of it, and Jacqueline should be as well. These are things that have not changed, and we continue to have headlines of businesses moving out of this community. Certainly in my own area, in the Browncroft neighborhood of the city where I reside, we now have headlines that Tops is leaving. Tops is not obviously a construction company, but it's also a very important segment of that community where people are able to walk and there's an opportunity for choice and price. Obviously, pricing is a huge thing.
And you tie that to regulation and government?
Well, I'm just saying overall, businesses cannot operate in this state anymore like they should be able to, and as any other state, as we know, the headlines have repeatedly come out. We're losing banks and also in that neighborhood as well. Chase is closing. Citizens Bank is closing. We're losing another Citizens right within the Tops. These are things that our community, our people rely on, and because of the onerous regulations, many of the businesses, some are just because of the business, the position that they might be in, but a lot of them are due to the regulations and laws.
And do you think unions have played a role? Because most, I'm going to speak generally here, mm-hmm. but if you want to talk scaffold law, if you want to talk workers' comp,
right.
If you had union leaders sitting at this table, they would generally say, the Democrat bringing this up, Todd Grady, is on the right. side of Unshackled, not on the side of us. Do you think unions have stood in the way of needed reform?
Not necessarily. I'm going to be the first person to tell you I support the unions. I come from a family of teachers. My wife has been a school teacher in this community for 20 years.
Do you think they're just wrong on these issues?
There's some reform that can happen if both sides get together and collaborate. That's what the point we're missing here. We need to get together on both sides of the aisle and with all the community partners. We talked about the community coalitions earlier and the delegation. It doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, or something else. We need to partner and get together, and we can be successful in changing Albany's ways.
Okay, Jacqueline, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm really concerned about the economic development. I think that we need that deals database to make sure that the money we get from Albany, we're getting $50,000 for Rock the Runway. It's the Rock the River. It's a wonderful program. But how are we going to know for sure who gets the contracts, who gets the bids, what's going to happen afterwards? I think since it's our taxpayer money, I think it would keep corruption down a little bit with getting transparency and making sure that people know what's going on, a little bit of clarity there. But I also believe that's 5 years down the road, or those plans that they make for photonics, and then it didn't move in, so there's an empty building. We have to have somebody to follow this up. It can't just be like throwing the money there. But also about jobs right now, we need some right now. We need infrastructures. We need roads and bridges. And I believe that if we get people on the job right now, it'll give them more money and bring more money into our community. So I think we need to work on that.
Okay, Jamie, just specifically on Todd bringing up things like workers' comp, mm-hmm. scaffold law, etc., saying that it shouldn't be an all or nothing. you know, unions versus business, that there's room for compromise. Do you think he's right?
I think he's right. And when I was working in the state Senate, the scaffold law was something that got discussed a lot. And I know there were some attempts to try to bring a lot of different sides to the table. But unfortunately, you see people receding to different sides where you can't reach necessarily a compromise bill. So that way we don't want to fully repeal some of these laws because they do have a lot of worker protections that are in place that we don't want to lose. So I think that while I definitely admire that, I know there's been a lot of ongoing conversations for years to try to make that happen. But speaking to some of our economic development programs, one of the things that I think that would address some of the mistrust and the issues that we have with transparency would really be restoring the state comptroller's oversight authority over contracts, which is the New York State Procurement Integrity Act, which actually a Buffalo Assembly person, Crystal People Stokes, is actually sponsoring. That's something that I would want to get there to support, which would restore contract oversight that the state comptroller, an independently elected office, would be able to have. Again, that was repealed about 7 years ago. But I do think that there are a lot of other ways that the state can come in and that there are things we need to do to make sure that we are not losing the investment that we're getting regarding economic development, but we're making it smarter and we're making it stronger. One of the things that I think we do need to look at is a few years ago, we did pass some IDA reforms, which is like, I think it's called Imagine Monroe now, but the CMIDA, I think it's Imagine Monroe now. I apologize. But a few years ago, we were able to empower local IDAs to have clawback mechanisms, which would be if somebody that received some benefits didn't produce the jobs they were supposed to be producing, there was a way for that local IDA to say, well, you can't keep all of that benefit we gave you as a state. You have to return some of that to the taxpayers. But I think that the state needs to go back and kind of do some type of review. Have local IDAs been implementing that fully like they should? And if not, maybe we need to relook at that again.
And by the way, we heard Photonics invoked regarding economic development. And certainly the predecessor of the seat and the current holder of the seat, Joe Morelli, was pretty closely involved among the many people involved in bringing a possible Photonics headquarters to Rochester. Some of the critics have said it's rolling out too slowly. If you go to that office, are you going to continue to support Photonics as a foundational future for Rochester?
I think we should. I think that we've seen that we've got the investments from our local universities here. We have a first-class workforce that is being educated here. There is a future there, and we can't just completely abandon and give up all hope. I think there is a future there. We need to make sure we're making the policies smart and we're making them effective, but I do think we should keep our focus on how can we improve that.
Jacqueline.
Well, I think we should. The problem with that building, the building was fine, and there were some safe rooms or clean rooms, and when they got it together, somebody ripped out the clean room, so they're not there, so it's not effective for Photonics, so it's just going to be empty there. So, but I also want to end the pay-to-play database of deals, and that Crystal People Stokes, I know her also, and she is holding up the ethics reform.
Okay, Todd.
I'll just say that on my literature and on my website, toddgrady.com, I speak to supporting the same economic development reforms that both Jamie and Jacqueline are speaking to, because the key word here is transparency. We need to be transparent with our electorate, with the community members. We're starting to hear things come out about Photonics, which if you're a viewer, you may say, I wonder what's going on. And we know the lessons learned from the Buffalo Billion. So we need to be transparent and inform the community, which ultimately our tax dollars are going to these initiatives, and be transparent about what we're doing.
Are you going to support Photonics if you go to Albany?
I'll continue to support Photonics as long as we're being transparent with our community.
And you say we've learned the lesson from the Buffalo Billion. I'm not sure there's unanimity on that. The Buffalo News just endorsed Andrew Cuomo and said his support for Buffalo has been central. They want to see him reelected as governor because of it. But a lot of the critics say they don't like the way some of those deals got done. What is the lesson when you talk about the Buffalo
News? Well, I can tell you that I can't speak for the Buffalo News editorial board and their endorsement process. And you obviously read what happened with the Democratic Chronicle and the failure to connect with the Democratic Chronicle when you're running for governor. And as I said earlier, you asked me about who I might be voting for. When you start to see things like that, you just have to take a step back and say, what's going on? And that's why I'm saying, if people are transparent, our government is transparent, voters, readers, they don't have questions. And I'm just saying, if we're not transparent, we can lead to something that maybe would not be a good thing for our community.
But what's the short story of the Buffalo Billion, though? You view it as what?
I view
pay
it
to
as
play?
Of course it's pay to play. There's no doubt about it. But it's also a lack of transparency and not using funds correctly.
Okay, so pay to play, lack of transparency.
And improper use of funds.
Yes or no? Is that how
yes.
you view it, Jacqueline?
Yes.
Jamie, do you view it that way?
I think there were bad actors that were involved with that, but I think there were successes in that project that I think the Buffalo News and others are saying that can't be ignored. You can't simply swipe a brush in and designate the entire project as that.
Okay, on to some other subjects here. Want to make sure we ask what your position is on health care. The New York Health Act is something that just got invoked in, for example, the governor, one debate for the governor's race. Would you vote for the New York Health Act? Joe Morelli is one of two Democrats in the Assembly not to support mm-hmm. it. Would you support it?
Yes, I would support it.
Okay, Jacqueline.
I would absolutely support it.
And this, by the way, is a single-payer health
bill. It's a single-payer health bill, universal. It'll cut out the copay and the deductibles. Absolutely.
Okay, Todd Grady.
And I'll be the third to support it. Yes, I will.
Okay, so that's a yes on all of them. Jacqueline Richard, let me ask you on the subject of women's health care. There's a lot of talk about a post-Roe v. Wade America. There's a lot of assumption that the Supreme Court could soon overturn it. What is the state's role in addressing that, if any, that you see?
The state's role is, and as soon as I get to the Assembly, we're going to make this happen. We have to change and codify Roe v. Wade so we get up at least up until what the national rules are, because right now we're behind a little. So what we need to do is codify Roe v. Wade as soon as possible with the Reproductive Health Act will do that, and we'll make it even to, we're not asking for any more than what the national has right now, but because of the threat of what's going on in Washington, we must protect New Yorkers. I will not let them take away our health care or our right to choose. That's something I will stand on to my last breath.
Okay, and it sounds like that'd be a very quick priority for you if you go.
Well, it's a priority. Right now, the Assembly's passed it, so we have to knock on the doors and hopefully we flip the Senate. If not, go across the hallway and talk to those people. We can't have people are not going to there are going to be women dying in back alleys. We cannot have that happen again.
Okay. Jamie, do you agree?
Well, I definitely agree with the importance of the Reproductive Health Act. And when I worked in the state Senate, I saw firsthand when we had the Women's Equality Act with all 10 points, how hard we tried to get that through. And we got it through the Assembly, and we could not get it through the state Senate. So it's going to, you know, this election is vitally important on a number of different issues. But particularly now, as I believe right now the Kavanaugh hearings are going on with a new Supreme Court justice that's potentially coming on. We really have to make that a priority.
And you're right, by the way. It couldn't get through the state Senate with all 10 points, one codifying essentially Roe v. Wade into state law to protect it in the event that it would need to be there. Mm-hmm. And you go back 4 years ago, Zephyr Teachout runs against Governor Cuomo in a primary. The Working Families Party wanted Cuomo to campaign to flip the Senate back to true Democratic control. He said he would. He didn't. Do you blame him for that?
Can you rephrase that? Do I blame the governor
There's an IDC, which is super inside baseball,
yes.
but essentially Democrats have control of the Senate, but they don't because there's a breakaway group of Democrats who vote with Republicans. Cuomo told the WFP 4 years ago, sure, endorse me, I'll go support them. And he never really did that. And the governor has really never supported flipping the Senate to true Democratic control. Do you blame him for that?
Well, I think he's campaigning pretty strongly right now for flipping it. There's a number of primaries going on. Downstate, particularly.
He's had a long time to do that. He's running for re-election again.
He has, and I mean, the governor can defend his own record. All I can say is that I don't think the makeup of the Senate can be blamed on one person.
Okay, Todd, on this subject, go ahead.
I support the Reproductive Health Act. In fact, it's the number one or number two question I get at the door. Women's rights are utmostly important, and we need to get this passed, and we need to stop having it stalled.
All right, so it sounds like there's some urgency among all. Let's get a couple quick questions in. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, is there a Republican running against you guys?
No. There's not. From what we've been told, the Republicans tried to recruit a candidate and could not get one on the ballot, so there is not.
That's interesting. Well, Todd, I thank you for your fiscal conservatism a little bit, but the single payer isn't going to work. You guys should go find out why it didn't work in Vermont before you go for the single payer.
Andrew, thank you for that. You consider yourself a fiscal conservative, Todd?
Not really, no. I'm a Democrat by heart.
A centrist Democrat.
I support things that work in our state and for doing better. I put on my literature, we can do better, we need to do better. Whether, again, Democrat, Republican, or something else, we need to get together as a community as one.
All right, so let's keep it tight, though, real quick. He says Vermont's an example of why they started going down the single-payer path. Governor Peter Shumlin, a Democrat, said, not going to work without a huge tax increase. A lot of other Democrats in other states said, How can you do that? You know, so there's a lot of conversation. Is there a lesson or a cautionary tale?
We need affordable health care for all our community. It's a human right.
Okay. Jacqueline.
We need affordable health care. But also, I want to just say right now that I will, I believe in term limits, and I will promise that no more than a few terms, because I think this is important. The founding fathers did not want us to have careers at this political game.
Okay. Jamie.
I think that we do need to learn some lessons, and I think that we also have to be prepared for some of the consequences. We don't know if the Senate's going to flip. We're going to work very hard to try to flip the Senate. But just taking a vote on the New York Health Act, I don't think should be the end of what we do with health care. I think we need to consider about what else happens.
All right, keeping it tight, Robert in Fairport. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Joe Morelli was really big in the casino movement and had us kind of hip deep in the Del Lago resort and casino that appears to be performing very much below expectations. I'm wondering if any of these people support a casino bailout.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Real quick, were you comfortable with Mr. Morelli's support for that casino, and would you support essentially $100 million or some kind of help, they say, to level the playing field?
This casino environment is saturated, and no casino, it's a private entity that does not deserve a bailout.
Okay, Jacqueline.
I do not think it deserves a bailout.
Okay, Jamie.
I think that there's a lot of people employed there, which is one of the reasons why I would want to take a little bit more time to look at that, because I think that when we're talking about people's jobs, that's an important thing for us to consider.
A lot of people predicted exactly this would happen. Did Joe Morelli make a mistake in supporting that?
As I said earlier, the casino environment's oversaturated, and long before Del Lago was ever on the books, there were already plenty of casinos in our area.
Okay. Was it a mistake to support it?
It's probably needed some more time to figure it out before he supported it 100%, because there's one a few miles away and on both directions. So I would say it's difficult. I do believe with people do need jobs, and maybe we can work something else out.
Okay. Jamie, was it a mistake on his part?
I don't know if it's as easy to just sum it up as a mistake. I think that, you know, obviously the state tries to make investments and tries to do more to create jobs and stir economic development. I think that we need to look at going forward.
Okay. So you've heard from the candidates, and only one of them has mentioned their website. So let's be fair to all three, because you all have mm-hmm. websites mm-hmm. that people can learn more about you, the issues, your background. Todd, once again, your website is?
ToddGrady.com.
ToddGrady.com. Jacqueline.
JacquelineForAssembly.com.
Spell Jacqueline.
JACLYN for FOR, Assembly.com.
And Jamie Romeo.
JamieRomeo.com.
Okay. Thanks to all of you for being here. Tried to cover a lot of ground on the issues, and they all took the time to be here. That's important to us. We know it's important to our listeners. And so we expect that whoever wins this race, there's not a Republican in the race, that we'll see you back here on this program many times. We hope so.
Hope so.
Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank
Short
you.
Break. More
Thank
connections
you.
Coming up.